Alley, AM 1450, KBMW.
All right, back here in studio. Good morning, 921. Got a cloudy sky right now, 31 degrees. Every Wednesday we do this, talk with our friends at OSBTI in Breckenridge. Got Carlene on the phone with me this morning. Carlene, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about the month of April, kind of a special month for you guys. Occupational Therapy Month. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give a kind of an explanation of what occupational therapy is and some of the common diagnoses we see just to educate people out there. So occupational therapy is sometimes referred to as OT, and it's a skilled treatment that helps people gain their independence. To help them return to work and activities of daily living. We work with each individual patient and kind of personally design a treatment program that enables the individual to regain upper extremity function after an illness or injury. We work with individuals with a variety of disabilities or injuries and actually all ages, so from birth to the older adult population. OTs can work with individuals to be independent with activities of daily living, and those are things like the basic skills you need, like getting dressed, grooming, hygiene, even toileting. An OT may also make a customized splint to fit those needs, and we can also use aquatics or pool therapy to help with the healing process. So some of those illnesses, injuries, diagnoses that we typically see are carpal tunnel syndrome, and that can be before and after the surgery. Other hand injuries like trauma, things that maybe happen after, like you sustain a fracture or post-surgical, strokes, cerebral palsy, elbow and wrist injuries, golfer's elbow or tennis elbow, shoulder problems, general weakness after an illness or hospital stay. And that we kind of had a lot after COVID was a big thing that hit us. Arthritis, finger joint pain, work injuries, handwriting and fine motor skills, and cognitive therapy. So because we work with a variety of all ages, we do see pediatric patients as well, and our treatment does sometimes look a little different. There, too, we treat a variety of conditions and help those kids kind of participate in their daily activities. Play is one of their main occupations, so we want to adapt how they play or how the game or whatever they're engaging in is done so that they can be independent with that.
Mm-hmm.
Other things we look at with them are visual perceptual skills, cognition, processing the senses. So if you've heard of the term sensory integration, self-care skills there too, like dressing, self-feeding, fine motor skills, such as manual dexterity and fine motor coordination and precision.
Carlene,
go ahead.
No, there's so much. I'm fascinated as I'm listening to you because I think one of the misconceptions about occupational therapy is this is something for older adults, but this really spans all ages.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of different diagnoses we see with children too. So sometimes they're born with a injury, so we need to help them kind of learn how to adapt and grow that way. Also, if kids at a very young age, or maybe they had a NICU stay and are put on like a feeding tube, as they get older, maybe they don't need that anymore, and so they don't even know how to tolerate varieties of textures and tastes and things like that, so we can expand their diet and help them be independent with that as well. A lot of self-regulation, gross motor skills, fine motor skills, those types of things, too.
Boy, this is just like an overload of great information here. If people want to know more about this, Carlene, what is your phone number?
Yeah, it is 701-242-7323 in Hankinson. And our Breckenridge Clinic is 218-641-7725. I also just wanted to mention that because it is Occupational Therapy Month, we are offering free fine motor screenings for children. So that's going to be for the month of April only, and it'll be offered at all three of our clinics. for children 4 to 6 years of age. So if you're noticing your child having some troubles with handwriting, maybe coloring or cutting is difficult for them, give us a call at one of those numbers and we can help you out.
Great, great information, Carlene. Listen, enjoy the rest of the week. We'll touch base again next Wednesday, okay?
Sounds good. Yep. Well,
it's Carlene from OSPTI. We're talking occupational therapy today. And we talk with our friends over there every Wednesday at this time here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW, good morning.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm News Director Eric Johnson.
The food stamp fight is continuing between the House Republicans and the USDA after a failed attempt to reform SNAP food choices this fiscal year. House Ag Appropriations Chair and physician Andy Harris isn't giving up on his idea for a voluntary pilot to restrict unhealthy food choices under SNAP, a continuing GOP target in spending and farm bills. Harris had this to say to USDA Ag Secretary Vilsack during a recent hearing.
Since your first appointment as Secretary of Ag, the obesity rates among U.S. adults have increased by almost 9% from 33.8% in 2007-2008. 42% of Americans in 2017-2018.
Vilsack couldn't say if SNAP education programs have reduced recipient obesity, but then tried to turn the tables on Harris.
If indeed the goal here is for taxpayer dollars to be directly linked to more nutritious decisions, are you going to make that same decision for farm emergency relief? Farmer gets emergency check from the government, cashes it, goes to the grocery store. Are you going to restrict him from? Why not? Fundamentally, that's the issue.
I'm going to reclaim my time.
Harris then challenged Vilsack if it makes any sense to let SNAP recipients buy unhealthy food when there is an obesity epidemic.
Poor people that are obese. It's middle-income people. It's rich people. I mean, it's an issue all across the country.
Mr. Secretary, the difference is we're not buying food for the middle-class people. We're buying food.
But you are. Absolutely, you are.
Mr. Secretary, I'm not going to.
If you get any federal assistance.
If you think that providing sugary beverages and salty snacks is a good idea.
I don't think that.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says above normal temperatures and precipitation are expected for much of the nation for the period of April 9th through the 15th.
Through the 15th, some of the chilly weather that is in place in parts of the country this week into the weekend is going to be a short-lived event because we are facing a period coming up where we expect above normal temperatures nearly nationwide, especially the eastern half of the country, high likelihood of above normal temperatures. Any near or below normal readings will be confined to just a few areas in the west, the Pacific Northwest and the desert southwest. Meanwhile, with that mild pattern, we're also expecting quite a bit of rainfall. We see near or above normal precipitation expected from April 9th through the 15th, just about everywhere except South Florida, a bit on the dry side, and parts of the far west, northern and central California and the Pacific Northwest, extending inland across the Great Basin and the northern Intermountain West, a little bit on the drier side, but just about everybody else expecting rather showery weather as we head toward the middle of April.
That's a check of our Ag News update on the Ag Central Radio Network.
Morning Markets and Ag News brought to you this hour by Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley.
Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley.
Hi, this is Wade from Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley. I would like to let you know about our Defluent. Whether you're looking for a 2.5-gallon jug or a 275-gallon tote, we've got you covered. You can also grab it at the pumps at the Southern Valley Travel Center located on the 210 bypass. So whatever your DEF needs are, we're here to help.
Got a mostly cloudy sky, 33 degrees, Wednesday, April 3rd. From the Twin Town Villa News Desk, I'm Bill Damplo. It's 9:30, good morning. Fargo man remains in the Clay County Jail on charges related to a hit and run where a pedestrian was hit by a pickup in Moorhead last Tuesday. Police say 55-year-old Derek McLaren struck a person in the 2400 block of 28th Avenue South, was trying to help a woman remove her car from a snowbank next to the road. McLaren left the scene but was stopped a short time later. He's charged with criminal vehicular operation, a felony, and misdemeanors of hit and run, driving too fast for the conditions, open bottle, and fourth-degree DWI. Senator John Hoeven has made an endorsement in the race for North Dakota governor. The Republican has endorsed Congressman Kelly Armstrong over Lieutenant Governor Tammy Miller. Hovind said that he has a long-standing relationship with Armstrong and believes in his ability to solve problems and stand up for North Dakota. He says Armstrong's background in energy and agriculture would serve him well as governor. The endorsement comes ahead of the state GOP convention in Fargo this weekend. KBMW News is brought to you this hour by Breckenridge Public Utilities.
Summer is right around the corner. If your home's cooling system is due for an upgrade, choose a certified quality installer. Our Bright Energy Solutions program can connect you with a quality installer, which will save energy, save money, and improve your HVAC system's overall performance. You'll be eligible for rebates ranging from $250 to $1,100 on qualifying equipment, plus an extra $100 if your system is installed by a quality install contractor. To learn more, call Breckenridge Public Utilities at 218-643-4681 or visit brightenergysolutions.com.
Bond is set at $1 million for a 43-year-old Larimore, North Dakota man shot after a murder and standoff in Larimore last month. Troy Larson is charged with murder, attempted murder, and 7 counts of reckless endangerment. Grand Forks Sheriff's Department says deputies responded to a home March 23rd for a reported shooting and began negotiations with Larson. When Larson exited the home, he made a movement toward his waist and a deputy fired at him, striking him. Larson was taken to All True Hospital. The victim was Jeremy Holweger, 64, who died at the scene. Larson appeared in court via video from his hospital bed. That is a look at KBMW News at this hour. For more news and information, now or anytime, go to our website, kbmwnews.com.
What's the biggest myth about